Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite lorecast on the Citadel.
Welcome to the Mass Effect Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the vast lore behind the Mass Effect games.
Spectres, welcome back to the Mass Effect Lorecast. We just had N7 Day this week for 2024, and Sam and I'm Tom, that's Sam, you guys know the deal. We're here to talk about there's a big announcement, and we have kind of a secret thing. Sam's been making some connections with some people who are revealing things to him.
Been meeting in some like dark parking garages. People are in long trench coats. And
in Omega, you traveled to Omega. You went down one of those little hallways, one of the dark little hallways where there are like people passed out on the side and lots of people eating noodles for some reason. And then you met somebody, like a Turian in a trench coat or something?
It was a Turian in a trench coat, and then there was a Volus in a bowler's hat.
With a harmonica and a cigar, which is super strange, but I mean, whatever.
And then there was an Elcor behind them with a basketball jersey on.
Okay, all right. They're quite the trio.
Big Toby fan.
Hey, welcome back to the show, everybody. This one's probably going to be a little bit quicker than some of the other ones. We're not getting into any deep lore here, but we are going over the announcements for N7 Day. There's a show to talk about, which is super exciting. And then, of course, at the end, we'll be talking about this really cool little bit of detail that hasn't been revealed before at all, right? Not at all.
Yeah, I don't think so. I guess we'll save that. But first, why don't we get into the N7 Day announcement that we got this year?
Yeah.
And let's just address the elephant in the room, shall we?
The Elcor in the room.
The Elcor in the room, yes. Mm-hmm. That a lot of people wanted something more. I, however, and maybe this is a hot take, I'm cool with this. I'm fine with the fact that we just got like a short message. What about you?
Yeah, no, like in previous years, we've talked about this every time, and we get a video, and the video tells us almost nothing, and then we spend a lot of time going, well, look at the outfit they're wearing, or look at the thing in the background, and we try to figure out if there's anything there that's intentional, and chances are, so much of that is just, I mean, it's just like, it's a teaser little thing, it's probably something that, you know, one or two people cooked up in their spare time, and then they drop it, and then we spend all this time trying to make some meaning out of it, and maybe there's meaning, or maybe there's not. And we don't even know. And this year, here's what they told us. Can I just go ahead and read it?
Yeah, let's read it because it's not too dense, and then we'll just talk about it afterward.
Yeah, so on their official blog, they posted, "Hi, everyone. November 7 has arrived once again, and as always, we're grateful for the opportunity to celebrate all things Mass Effect." Cool. "This year is a little different, and we just launched Dragon Age: The Veilguard as a studio, so we're purposefully keeping things lighter as we celebrate the launch of the game. Speaking of which, you may have noticed a small treat from the Mass Effect team in Dragon Age: The Veilguard if you check out a new chest inside the lighthouse." Then they go on and they say, "There is some cool new merch in our BioWare store, and we have partnered with No Man's Sky and Destiny 2 to bring back a couple fun cross promos in those games. Be sure to check out our social channels for all the details. Although we are a little quieter this year, we couldn't be more excited for what's to come. The Mass Effect community team." So let's break it down. First of all, they're like, hey, we've been busy with Dragon Age, so I guess we're just not going to do a whole lot, which...
Yeah. And then that's totally, I think that anyone who think that who's like so mad about that, I challenge you to consider the fact that BioWare also had big layoffs like last year.
Yeah.
And it is totally okay for them to focus more of their efforts on doing one thing really well instead of spreading themselves too thin. Yeah. I think that's totally fine.
Yes.
And I also think that, like you mentioned, they didn't put out a teaser that may have been misleading. And I think that's the responsible thing to do.
Yes, I agree. I agree. It doesn't really bother me. I know that this is PR speak for, well, we didn't do anything, so please don't get too upset because we've got this other thing we've been doing and we hope you guys love it. Like, I get that. I get that. And Dragon Age Veilguard has come out and a lot of people are playing it. There's different mixes of reviews. Some people really love it. Some people feel like it's a little lacking in certain areas, but
I've been playing it.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. Like, I haven't picked it up yet. I've watched a number of reviews. I've listened to a number of podcasts where people have talked about it. What's your take so far?
I love it. And this is the first Dragon Age that I've put more than 10 hours into. So I tried playing Origins like 2 years ago. I tried it on stream. That was probably a little ambitious because Origins is very dense, high fantasy lore.
Yes.
And diverting attention between chat and, you know, it's pretty tough. However, I decided not to stream this one, at least not a first playthrough. I'm playing it on my own time. It's my first one that I'm reading everything in the lore. It's more digestible just the way the game gives you the lore. Mm-hmm. Some people, the older fans, they, like the people who have been Dragon Age fans for longer, they think it's a little hand-holding, and maybe for them it is, but for players like me, it's perfect because this is a good on-ramp, I think.
Right.
If you had not played Dragon Age before, I consider it to be a good on-ramp because it has been for me. I'm pretty intrigued. The combat is very fun. It kind of feels like, in terms of setting, very similar to Baldur's Gate 3, but the combat is not turn-based. It's not as necessarily as cerebral, but it's just fun. It's fun to be able to smack the crap out of enemies, you know.
Plus, it's doing that whole, I mean, it's similar to Mass Effect in the fact that you're controlling your character, but you can also give commands to your squad. You've got two other people, right? And I know that it's almost like they are just augmentations of your own abilities and less like other characters because they can't really go down or get killed. Like, I've heard that that's a thing. How does that feel?
I didn't really notice that, to be honest, until you brought it up. But I guess, yeah, I haven't had my squad mates go down yet. But moreover, I've just been impressed with the level design. The level design kind of feels like a combination of Mass Effect and Jedi Fallen Order.
Okay.
Yeah, the way that those levels work.
Right, because I've heard that it's not really open world so much as it is, here's a really cool location, here are some corridors you can go down, some other things you can explore, but for the most part, it just kind of corrals you to where you need to go, which happens in a lot of the Mass Effect maps, to be honest.
I'd say it's pseudo open world. It's certainly more open world than Mass Effect 3 was. Yeah. It's definitely more open world than that, but yes, it is pseudo open world because it still has, like, you know, guardrails on, like you can't go out the side of the guardrails. Even so, if you're the kind of gamer who likes exploring around and, oh my gosh, I just found this like secret passage behind this tree, you will find things like that. I've already found things like that in Veilguard, and then there's some loot back there and you're like, oh, this is a sick helmet, you know? And so I don't know, I really love that. The story is intriguing me so far more than Dragon Age Origins did. I am learning why so many people hate Solas. I also see why so many people like Solas. Uh-huh. I'm kind of enthralled. I'm like 14 hours in, I want to say, so I don't want to get too ahead of myself here. Mm-hmm. But I'm enjoying it very much, and I think that when you play through it, when it comes to Mass Effect, if there's Mass Effect players who decide to jump on Dragon Age Veilguard, it's their first Dragon Age, what they're going to see is a similar feeling to Andromeda. Part of that is because the Frostbite engine.
Yeah, part and the of character that, designs remind me a lot of Andromeda.
And I think a large part of it, too, is this game was being developed for a long time, first of all. And second of all, some of the development happened with tools from the same era as Andromeda. Mm-hmm. So that's where you might find the similarities. However, the writing is not as teen CW drama-ish as Andromeda.
Okay.
It's more mature than that. It's not like as dark and gloomy as Mass Effect, the original trilogy.
Right.
It's somewhere in between. Okay. And I like it. Try it with an open mind, and if it's not your cup of tea, it's not your cup of tea. But I feel very encouraged about this, the future of Mass Effect, from what I've seen.
Yeah, and it makes sense that, I mean, it's been 10 years since the last Dragon Age game. Somebody who is 18 now, picking up Veilguard, was 8 years old when Inquisition came out, and they were even younger when the other Dragon Age games came out. So it makes sense that they would consider this a new on-ramp into the series, and I have to imagine that they probably are looking at Mass Effect in the same kind of light. I mean, think about it. It's been so long, and maybe even if you picked up Legendary Edition, it's still going to be a number of years between the two.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's... That's why I was mentioning that so much of this game's production has happened before the current generation of game. It's gonna feel a little different than a game that was just like started, developed, and finished within the past 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
It's gonna feel different than that.
Right.
That's okay. Speaking of Veilguard, though, before we move on, let's address the fact that in that N7 Day message, they put out some special armor that you can get. If you're a Mass Effect player, you'll love it. It is the duster from the teaser video.
Right. Right.
Yeah, it's the duster from it, and I think I sent you a link, so Gamer Rant has put up photos of it.
Yeah, here. I've got one right here. I just have to set it up so that people can see it on the stream. But we got similar things in Mass Effect where we had like the crossover armor.
Yeah, there was the Dragon Knight armor or Blood Dragon armor. There's also, so I have the descriptions of the items in front of me. So the description of the helmet is, it's called Command Helmet, and it says the mark of leadership, an accentuated stripe, the color of blood, serves as the reminder of those lost.
I just messed up everything on the stream. So if you're watching right now, you're probably wondering, like, what happened to the camera? I was trying to put the image up and then ended up just like messing everything up. Here, let me, I'm resizing stuff as you go, but keep talking. Keep talking.
Yeah. Play me off, Johnny. So the command helmet, and then it has underneath a trait called Beyond the Stars. So that's pretty cool. And for those of you who are listening, the helmet looks similar to the helmet that we saw in the teaser video last year. However, this helmet obviously made of metal, as if it's from a knight. Mm-hmm. The other item is called Paragon of Leadership. And the description says, a modern, practical fit makes this the perfect armor for operatives trusted with command.
Nice.
Okay, this is interesting, because if we are to take any narrative, findings from this description of this item that's in Veilguard that references the next Mass Effect... Mm-hmm. It's calling us operatives. Again, we see that verbiage where we're called operatives, the player character. And it's the perfect armor for operatives trusted with command. Maybe this means we get to command a ship again.
Yeah, I would imagine. I mean, either it's a reference to past Mass Effect or it's the other way around, right? Like future.
I feel like we're probably going to command a ship again. I mean, we did throughout the original trilogy and Andromeda.
That's true. I think that's true. I mean, it feels like it would be weird to not do that, you know?
So get this. Here's the one that I find most interesting. This other piece that you can get as part of the N7 Day bonus. It's called Spectre of Battles Past. Of Battles Past.
Right.
Formal enough to face a war council while still functional on the battlefield.
Yeah, it's Spectre suit. That, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So I'm thinking, you know, Spectre, we played as a Spectre in the OT, the original trilogy, not Andromeda.
Right.
We were not playing as a Spectre in Andromeda. And it's referencing Battles Past, you know, so hearkening back to our memories of the OT.
Yeah.
And the fact that it references formal enough to face a war council. Okay. The council, while still trying to make it high fantasy sounding. while still functional on the battlefield. I don't know. This is, so I'm admitting here that I'm reading perhaps a little too much into the copy.
Well, it's clever. I think it's clever on purpose because it makes us wonder, right? Are these all just references to things that we're already familiar with, or are these predictions of things to come?
I'm wanting to say that these are perhaps more likely little signs of what's to come because the game developers made this, like they wrote the descriptions.
Right.
This was most certainly not involving the marketing team.
Well, it also, there's plausible deniability across the whole thing, right? Because it could be either. But I would be surprised if the next Mass Effect game does not pull from the original trilogy as, you know, like in many, many different ways.
And let's talk about that specifically, because since we, we didn't really cover it on last week's episode with Rex, we got a tweet from Mike Gamble recently, and I'm not sure if you saw this.
I haven't seen this. No, I've purposely not been on Twitter very much. So,
for those of you who don't know, Mike Gamble is the project director for the next Mass Effect. He's a veteran Mass Effect developer, and he's an executive producer at BioWare. Anyway, he tweeted out pretty recently, I want to say, that, hold on, let me find this. Oh, I tweeted it on my own page. I quote tweeted it.
Okay.
So let me go ahead and
You're full of surprises today. You've got like all of these surprises.
Yeah. So here it is. Mike Gamble tweeted out that regarding tone questions, Mass Effect will maintain the mature tone of the original trilogy. This is all I'm going to say for now.
Well, hey, that's good news. That's great. Because that would be a huge mistake not to do that. And I get that Dragon Age is pushing in a different direction. Tonally, Veilguard is different than some of the previous games. And that they're shifting kind of more in that direction. And in a post-Baldur's Gate 3 world, post-cyberpunk world, I get the need to differentiate yourself. Like, if you can't compete at those things in that way, or you feel like that market has already gotten their stuff from that, you know, like post Elden Ring world. Like there's a lot of these like very tonally dark, sophisticated kinds of things. And to kind of focus on a different subgroup of fans makes sense for something that's very fantasy based. But when it comes to Mass Effect, can you think of any other real direct competitors in that space? In the space?
in the battle space,
like Starfield, you know, sort of, but not really. Like,
not with like a. This is the thing, you know. BioWare games are so unique because of this, and I, you know, maybe you could consider Baldur's Gate 3 a competitor for Dragon Age. But I don't think so. It's not a perfect one-to-one comparison.
They're different. I mean, they're different. They're party-based role-playing games.
Right.
One of them is
but
like
they're story-heavy.
Right. They're both very story-heavy. They're both very character-driven. So there's a lot of commonalities there. Their fantasy. The gameplay is completely different. They've gone in different directions. Whereas like Origins was much more like Baldur's Gate 3 in the gameplay side of it. So Dragon Age has progressed more and more towards action role play and accessibility, whereas Baldur's Gate 3 was like, screw that stuff, we want a Dungeons and Dragons experience, which was what Dragon Age originally was doing in Origins. So it like started there and then it kind of moved in another direction, and I think it's absolutely intentional, because they're trying to hit what I think is probably a younger demographic of people who want accessibility. They want to shoot cool looking magic spells at enemies. They want to blow stuff up. They don't want to think too hard about the story, so they want to kind of cater to them in a way that is easy to enjoy, and then they want to work through it, and then they want to go, oh, there's more to this, and play through again and find the things that they didn't do, or have conversations with the other companions that they didn't have before. And that's what this feels like to me.
And speaking of Dragon Age, this comment from Mike Gamble came up, the tone question, because he was replying to his own tweet where he said, lots of people asking me about Mass Effect now that Veilguard reviews are out and October 31st is close. He tweeted this out October 28th. Both are from the same studio, but Mass Effect is Mass Effect. how you bring a sci-fi RPG to life is different than other genres or IPs and has to have different kinds of love.
Yeah, I agree. I think in general, the sci-fi audience is, well, you can always kind of chop these things up in different ways, right? Like, I just talked about how the fantasy audience can kind of go in those two different ways. I think the sci-fi audience can do that as well, but when you go to more accessible, you end up with Star Wars. And Mass Effect is not Star Wars. Star Wars is space fantasy. Mass Effect is sci-fi. Those are distinctly different things.
Yeah, definitely. And I would love to see kind of a return of the space opera feeling of Mass Effect, the original trilogy.
Yeah.
A little bit of a feeling that we didn't get too much in Andromeda, just because the gravity of the stories was different. You know, mm-hmm. It was just naturally different. It was existential crisis in the original trilogy.
Right. You know how, have you ever seen one of those visual displays they've done of like a movie where they're like, okay, here's a slice of every frame in the movie and they put it all in one image. And then you can see like the color shift as the movie moves on. Have you ever done that?
No, I've never seen that. It sounds really interesting.
It's really cool because it's an interesting way to take like, okay, you know, the first Batman movie, the second Batman movie, the third Batman movie, you can kind of see the whole movie at a glimpse, and you can see from the color palette of the way the film was made how the tone shifted from one film to the next. I bet if you were to take the original three Mass Effect games and then you were to compare them to Andromeda or compare them to Dragon Age Veilguard or whatever, the first three Mass Effect games, I bet, are a lot darker. I bet the tone, like even just the scene, like think about going through the dark hallways of the Normandy or the different locations. Like you do sometimes end up in these bright locations with sunlight and things like that, but you spend a lot of time in these darkened rooms, these darkened spaces. And I think that also creates a certain feeling, a certain vibe, especially when you're in your safe place, when you're in the Normandy and when you're hanging out, talking to people. Oftentimes it's darker just visually.
I think the color palette changed between 1, 2, and 3 a lot too.
It did.
So
it did.
Like 1 was heavy on the cool blues.
Right.
2 was heavy on the darks and the oranges. And 3, I want to say, was just heavy on like the contrast and dramatic filters.
Right. But then you compare that to like Andromeda, and I bet there's just a lot, like the colors pop way more. It's more saturated. There's more bright scenes, things like that. That's just kind of my general feeling about it.
So I'm basically bringing it back around. I'm playing Veilguard, and I'm very encouraged for what it means for the future of Mass Effect, because I see in Veilguard a studio that has picked itself up by the bootstraps, and I mean that in the oxymoronic way. they have done very well with that game, I think. And it doesn't mean that the next Mass Effect is going to be like that. But the fact that they have done so well, and that's not arguable. Look, it's like near the top of the charts at Steam.
It sold a lot, and the average review is pretty good. So those are good signs. That's good signs for Mass Effect continuing. The studio is going to be funded, so that's good, right?
Yeah, and we get that, and we get Mike Gamble talking about how the tone is going to be mature.
Yeah.
And someone replied to his tweet and said, I mean, Mass Effect has always had its fair share of humor and silliness. And sure. He says, serious characters put in some humorous situations.
Right, yes, absolutely.
So that is even more encouraging to me when I see that. And this is the project director speaking, right? So I'm just, overall, this past in 7 Day, I'm very encouraged. It's a very stark difference from how we were having this conversation 1 year ago. And I am just so looking forward to seeing what they produce out of Mass Effect, the next one. I feel like we can probably count on a mature, almost gritty experience.
Yes. So we need to move on. First, we have to go thank our patrons. But when we come back, we're going to talk about the TV show that was announced. And then Sam's got some other secrets to reveal. So don't go anywhere, because I've got some, I know you've got some thoughts about the TV show. I've got some thoughts about the TV show, about what they absolutely need to do to make sure that this show succeeds. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Message coming in. Patching it through.
I am sovereign, and this
Lorecast
is mine. I like the sound of that.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. This is going to be quick. We don't have any new patrons this week. We don't have any reviews this week, but we do have to shout out our Shepherd tier patrons, Draco, Edboy, Kiracy, Lieutenant Tosino, Retrobot, Superfly, and William. Thank you so much for your support. And to all 75 of our current patrons, thank you so much. If you'd like to go help us out, check out patreon.com/MassEffectLoreCast. You can get ad-free episodes. You can join us for patron chats every month. You can get t-shirts and stickers. There's lots of fun stuff you can do. And you can even just join for free in order to make sure that you're plugged in if we have any announcements and things that need to go out. So thank you to everybody for your support. If you'd like to help us out in other ways, you can leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We'll read it out on a future episode of the show. You can rate the show on other platforms wherever you listen if they have that option. You can share it with your friends. And of course, you can join us on the Discord and let us know your thoughts about all the things we talked about this week. We'd love to hear your thoughts. All right, let's move on with the rest of the show. Here we go.
Spit it out, or are you trying to build suspense?
You're so dense, sir. Obviously, I do not know as much about human relationships as I thought.
So, Sam, we have this other huge announcement on the heels of Amazon and a very successful Fallout show. We have now an announcement that Amazon is working on a Mass Effect show. I think we speculated about this at one point in the past, about how Mass Effect would make such a good show and how maybe they should do it.
It was because of a 2021 report that Amazon was in negotiations, according to Variety, to make a Mass Effect TV show. So if that's why it sounds familiar to everyone, that's, you know, this is why. And Variety is the one who is exclusively reporting this news, that Mass Effect, and they're generally well respected in the entertainment industry. They have a good, credible track record. So,
right.
You know, I don't know. I have very complicated feelings. Amazon did very well with Fallout.
Yes. Yes.
However, the director and the writers of TV shows matter far more than the publishers.
That's absolutely true. Yes.
And what I'm seeing in this reporting is, I'll start with the good and then go to the bad. Okay. The good, Mike Gamble, who we were just referencing, is going to be an executive producer on the TV show.
Okay, just like Todd Howard with Fallout. So that's good. A dude,
that's good.
Somebody behind the scenes who knows what's going on. Good.
What's not good is that I'm also seeing it's going to have the same director as Fast and the Furious 9.
Okay, well, right. I had the same feeling of, like, I am not a fan of the Fast and Furious movies ever since they came out. The first one dropped, and I was in high school at the time. And from that point on, every time my friends and I were driving somewhere and somebody went speeding by past us, I'd look at my friends and go, that guy's fast and furious, because that's how dumb I thought those movies were. And to their credit, I'm sure they're entertaining. They have their audience, and the audience has grown, and they've just gone over the top in ridiculous ways that just kind of make them fun and entertaining, and so less self-serious. So yeah, there's that. My other thought here is, a director of a film isn't necessarily the same as the writer of the film. So my first thought was the same as yours. I was apprehensive. I was like, oh no, is that who they're going to have doing this? But then I thought about it for a minute and I was like, if the writers know what they're doing, but they have a director who knows how to actually set up epic moments of really badass vehicles doing awesome stuff. Like think like space battles or combat scenes, like, you know, hand-to-hand combat, guns, like that kind of stuff. Maybe that does actually work out well. What do you think?
Maybe. I mean, maybe, but I'm also seeing in the reporting that Ari Arad, I think that's how you say his name, Ari Arad, is also executive producing. And looking at his IMDb page, it looks like he's been most active in like the superhero realm and Marvel realm.
Okay.
I don't know how I feel about that with Mass Effect.
Yeah, it just depends. It depends because there are pretty lame Marvel movies, but there are also some very, very good Marvel movies, right? It's the same kind of thing. Like, I think, and Mass Effect is a hero's story.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I got to correct myself. I think I said that it's going to be directed by the director of Fast and the Furious 9. It's actually going to be written and executive produced by Daniel Casey from Fast 9.
Well, that's not as hopeful.
Yeah, so that was, sorry, I had to fact check myself because I was like, I don't know if that's right. Yeah. Anyway, I have the sourcing here in front of me, IMDb.
Yeah.
But yeah. How many times do you think they're going to mention family?
Well, it is a found family, if we go back to the typical game stories. Well, so here's another question, though. Like, okay, so we have some trepidation. Who knows how this stuff is going to play out? Because I have been surprised in the past where they're like, hey, this director who does all... I mean, Peter Jackson is a wonderful example of this, right? The dude was making zombie movies and then somehow got to direct The Lord of the Rings. And it's one of the best movie trilogies ever made, right? So sometimes people are deeper than we give them credit for and more talented in multiple ways. But here, what do you think, and let's just speculate about this for just a minute, what do you think the focus of the story will be? Because I have a feeling that me and many other people do not want to see the Shepherd story again on a TV show, because it's not going to be my story, it's not going to be your story. Whatever they do, it's going to mess up in some way. I'd rather see something else. And we've talked about this before. Like, what if we had a prequel that was about, like, the first Conflict Wars or Anderson's story before the events of Mass Effect 1? Something like that.
Yeah, and I think that you're right on the money there, First Contact War or Anderson's story, because, A, I think it's going to be one of the historical events in Mass Effect that involves humans. So that limits the scale a lot, because humans just came onto the galactic stage recently.
Right.
I don't think they're going to be bold enough to do a sequel to the original trilogy.
Right.
I don't think that they are going to do Shepard's story. I think that they would realize that's a failing venture for a player character that can go any number of ways on any different decision.
Sure. Also, to throw it in there, if you do an earlier story with less aliens involved, that's less special effects. It's less costumes and things like that, especially for the first season of a show where you're kind of fleshing this stuff out. So if most of the aliens you see in that first season are the Turians who you're kind of fighting at a distance and maybe one or two of them that are up close, and then maybe the Council. And so now you don't have like an entire crew of all of these diverse alien looking characters, and we know what they look like. The graphics for Mass Effect were good enough that we would look at them and go, wait, this is what they're supposed to look like. Why does this thing look different? You know, like,
that's why the live action part, man, I am worried about that.
Yeah. Cause either they're going to nail it, either they're going to go, okay, this is what a Turian looks like, and we're going to make it, we're going to take the 3D models like they did for Fallout, and we're going to actually design these characters around the same 3D models as the foundation for the characters, or they're going to be like, well, we're just going to go with a different take on this, and then it's going to look like Muppets, or, you know, who knows what else.
What about this? And I just considered this, because Mike Gamble is an executive producer. Maybe I'm wrong about them being bold enough to do a sequel. Because what if, you know how the novels came out as kind of a bridge before the games?
Yeah, and the comic books and all that. We talk about all this stuff all the time.
What if this TV show acts as a bridge between the OT ending And whenever the next Mass Effect game starts.
Yeah.
Or the end of Andromeda, and whenever the next game starts.
Right. I mean, could you do a show that's focused on Liara as the Shadow Broker and investigating what she can do to bring Shepard back? Or could you have Liara as a main character? I don't know that. Typically, we have like a human, right? We need like a stand-in for the audience. And Liara is very human looking. She's blue and very human, you know, ish. But I don't know that that's enough.
Yeah, I don't know. The thing is, I feel like, yeah, you're probably right. They're probably going to go with the human main character, have aliens as the secondary or tertiary characters. The setting, I feel like they probably are more likely to stick to something that has already happened in the Mass Effect lore, because then they have some kind of defined guardrails.
Right, right. Yeah. It's tricky. Who knows? Maybe they'll thread the needle. Maybe they'll knock it out. Or, I mean, I would rather hold on to hope until I have reason to really doubt. You know,
that's interesting, because I would rather go into it with like bottom of the barrel expectations and be pleasantly surprised. I'm going to go into it expecting a level, like a quality level akin to Time Bandits.
Oh, no.
If you know that movie.
Oh, no. Like the movie, not the new show that they tried to
no,
do.
No. The movie.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh. What if we get what was it? What was the show called with like the Muppets, the space show with the Muppets from like 20 years ago? You know, it's like Farscape, was that it? I don't remember.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, there was one where like all the aliens were basically Muppets, and that that would be just a mess. I don't think anybody wants that.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know. Overall, I'm going to be expecting very little of it, especially seeing how the Halo TV series bombed.
Yeah. Hopefully they've learned from that, though. You know, like, it's not like we don't have good lessons in similar types of shows and what seems to work and what doesn't.
You know, if they decided all of a sudden that they didn't want to do live action and they wanted to do animated, I'd be more than okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah, as long as, some of the comics we've looked at, some of the specific individuals were definitely very quickly drawn. So I would hope that the, the quality would go above and beyond that, at least. But yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with that either. I just think that you're going to hit a much smaller audience. Like, I think what they're probably looking for is something similar to Fallout's success, because it was so positively received.
Yeah. The thing is, there's multiple people on this project apparently that have a lot of extensive experience with Marvel TV shows. I don't know how well Marvel, if they try and force a Marvel feeling into Mass Effect.
Yeah, but so back to that idea, there are Marvel TV shows that have just kind of been meh, but there are some that have just been like Loki season 2 or Agatha, which just came out last month, are stellar. Agatha's budget was $40 million. Very, very lowest cost project that they've done yet. But the writing was so good and interesting that it didn't matter. The acting, the writing, like it was a really interesting story that looped in on itself as it went on. It got a lot of public positivity. Loki was the same kind of thing, not the highest budget in the world, but like they really put it where it counted, and the writing was great. So if they can channel that side of Marvel, they didn't over explain things. They left a lot of questions open. That works for Mass Effect. This idea of like, we're going to give you a glimpse into the world. We're going to give you enough to kind of see where we're going. We're going to thread an interesting story with all of these other characters and things going on that are going to add up as the show goes on into some revelation at the end. That works for Mass Effect. But can they do it?
Can they pull it off? I don't know. I think it would be best served as a mini series.
Yeah.
I'll put it that way.
Okay. I can see that.
So it doesn't lose its way. Like, pre-plan from the very beginning, okay, we're going to have 3 seasons, 10 episodes each.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. I think that would, or even just to shoot for 1 season that is just in, like, sustains just itself, so that if it does well, they can go, okay, well, we can continue this now. You know, heck, just shoot for that. You know, give us 8 real good episodes. That would be great.
Talk about series with mini series with like really great episodes. Tokyo Vice. Sorry, just had to get that off my chest.
I haven't seen Tokyo Vice.
Yeah. A really, really great series. But anyway, yeah, I'm going to go into it with very little details, or very little expectations. We have little details at this point.
Yeah, I hope they channel like kind of a noir kind of thing also. I think that could work really well, especially if it's like focused on a specter. You know, that sort of like investigation, you know, situation kind of thing. That could be fun.
They better not make the Turians look absolutely ridiculous. Like, I better not see or the any Krogan. Practical effects.
What if the Krogan end up looking like the Ninja Turtles from the films that were out over the last, 10 years or so?
Since we're carrying over, you know, at least some personnel from Fast and the Furious, can we get Vin Diesel as a Volus?
Oh, God.
Diesel?
I don't want Vin Diesel anywhere near this. Okay.
Family.
All right. Well, hey, we've got other stuff to move on to. We've been teasing this little surprise that you've put together. Should we just go ahead and play it? Or do you want to explain it?
Yeah, I'll explain a little bit. So I have obtained some secret footage that was basically recorded during the development of the original Mass Effect trilogy. And to my knowledge, and I've been told, it has never been seen before. And, you know, for those of you listening, I guess it's never been heard before. Mm-hmm. But what you're mm-hmm. about to hear is actually Mark Meer.
Okay. I haven't watched this yet either. I just have it like queued up here, and I'm just looking at the still screen from the first frame.
My understanding is this was done as a test. So that they could test facial animations.
Okay.
So, you know, you get them to say different sentences, different sounds. That's what my understanding was. And maybe it was that. Maybe it was just an outtake. I don't know. But let's go ahead and play it, and we'll just let it speak for itself.
All right, here we go.
Sometimes, when I'm alone in my cabin, I take my goldfish out of his tank and just hold him in my hands until he stops struggling.
And that's it. He just walks off. So for those of you, go check out this video. Will be up on our YouTube channel. Just look at Mass Effect Lorecast YouTube. You'll be able to find it. But he's on the Normandy. He walks over. He looks at the camera. He says that. And then he just walks away.
Yeah, doesn't elaborate. Leaves. It was amazing. And I'm told that the funniest part of this is that there's
more of these
lines that we have never seen or heard. I wish I had them. I don't. But that's just what it is.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Also, I'm going to send you a photo, Tom, on Discord here.
All right.
This is another one of these secret files that I've obtained from dev testing of the original trilogy.
All right, let me pull this up. hopefully it doesn't mess up my screen again, but here, we'll put it up on the screen. Yeah, there we go. I'll make this nice and big.
So the story behind this one, I got the story if you want it.
Yeah.
I'll explain for our listeners first what you're looking at. This is Shepard sitting in a boxcar-sized Mako where it's literally like, just think of like a chair on wheels, but then someone built a Mako body
this
around
is like
it.
Mass Effect Kart Racer is what this looks like, right?
Yes, like Mario Kart.
Right, right.
And I'm told that this was originally from an idea that would have been in the Citadel DLC, where they would have had a roller coaster ride that was, you got in the Mako, and it would take you in a satirical kind of parody of Shepard's Journey.
Oh,
in like
God.
It's a Small, Small World, a la It's a Small, Small World in Disney World.
Right.
And that's what I'm told that this was from, but never panned out. Anyway, hilarious. The title of that file is Pump Buggy.
That's oh, this is so good. Yeah, now I just want a Mass Effect Kart Racer. That's what this looked like.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah, it's like Mario Kart, but you know, Mako Kart.
Yeah, Mako Kart.
There's another one that I'm going to send you as well.
Okay.
Right. Tom. But let me go ahead and send this to you. Okay, here we go. And this one you can just mute because there's no real intrinsic sound to it. I think one of the developers was having fun with this after they captured the video portion of it, because they put a song with it. I don't think we have the rights to play the song, but it was never meant to be played like that. It was just a meme. So let me send this to you right now. And here we go.
Okay. You want to, there's no sound. So you ready to describe this to everybody?
Yes, we will describe it. So go ahead and play it. And this is why people should be watching our live streams in the YouTube videos.
Twitch.tv/robotsradio. It's easy to find, or just the Mass Effect YouTube channel. All right, so here we go. Let me open it up. Make sure it's in the right player. All of that. Why don't you want it? Oh, there you go. Okay, it's here. Okay, hold on. Oh man, the anticipation I'm sure is crazy for everybody. Oh, there we go. Okay, here it is on screen. There you go.
So, what we're looking at here is it appears to be a physics test of a giant Volus body rolling after Shepard as Shepard runs away. But Shepard's running away toward the camera backing up along with him running away. Uh-huh. And the original music in this was the Indiana Jones theme song.
Like the boulder scene in Indiana Jones. Because it's a big round Volus with a red light on him running from a Shepard in a blue light. And it's just a physics set. He's just rolling around. I now have a headcanon that the Volus have a Volus King. It's this big fat Volus King.
This is the Volus King.
Yes.
So yeah, that's one of them. What's most interesting to me too is the room that they're running around in. It's checkered, and it almost looks like the one room that's in the air traffic control portion of CSEC. Mm-hmm. In Mass Effect 1, this is a very hyper-obscure reference. But there's a big, what looks to be like a simulation room at the end of an elevator shaft. If you go over there, that's kind of what it looks like they're running around in because of the checkered pattern there. I don't know. Right. That's probably just a dev test room that they've made.
Yeah, usually that's what happens is the devs will have a test room. Sometimes they'll leave it in the map on like a part of the map that you can't get to. So if you can clip through the walls, you can find them. But oftentimes they'll just take a checkered pattern that they may use somewhere else in the game, but then it works for being able to understand scale and distance if they need to use it for that. So that's hilarious.
I have more.
Oh boy.
If we'd like to do that. I have some more, and I feel like this is probably, this is probably rewarding for N7 Day, wouldn't you say? I mean,
yeah, this is more of an announcement than they made for N7 Day.
this is why we are who we are. So I've sent you another one there.
All right, I'm pulling this up.
And
here it is. I'm getting it set. Do you want to describe this, or should we have the sound up for this one?
You can actually use the sound on this one because this one is a meme song. As far as I know, it's not copyrighted.
Okay.
So,
all right. Oh, here
we
go.
Maybe lower the sound so we can talk over it.
All right. Oh man. Okay. So describe what's happening here.
What you're hearing is Nyan Cat, which is an iconic meme from the early aughts. But Shepard is standing at the claw machine from the Citadel DLC, and the claw machine is picking up tiny Volus bodies inside the claw machine and then dropping it into the chute
that it goes in. Yeah, like a claw machine.
But they're getting stuck, and all the Voluses are jostling around.
yeah. This is amazing. And in the background of the machine, there's like one of those like advertisement textures. It just looks like one of the random ones from somewhere in the Citadel or something.
Right. I mean, this is hilarious. I'm guessing this was while they were testing different materials and assets for Citadel DLC.
Yeah.
And then I have one more as well.
Okay, send it over.
This is the final one. Also involving Volus.
Okay.
Got a strong Volus streak going on here.
Yeah.
So all of these are pretty much like a fever dream. And I think this one might actually have a copyrighted song in it. I'm not too sure.
All right.
Well, so you might want to just mute it.
I'll kill the sound on this one, but okay, here we go. This is it. It's up on the, okay, so I see a shepherd and more bodies? What is this?
More volus bodies It appears that they are testing ragdoll effects.
Yeah, it's like the one big volus is in the background, but now they've got a bunch of the normal size voluses all just rolling around chasing shepherd.
Chasing shepherd
and he's
wherever
shooting
shepherd
at them.
Goes.
He's shooting at the rolling volus. Rolling volus needs to be another band.
Rolling Volus is funny because the name of this file is Roly Polies.
Roly Polies. Roly Poly Voluses.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
good. Hilarious. And this he's like sprinting away and the Voluses catch up.
Yeah.
And are they doing damage to him once they... No, they didn't look like they were doing any damage once they reached him.
I'm pulling it back up.
Let me see. Yeah, it was like a zombie chase scene with dead Volus.
Yeah, no damage. He's not taking damage from that, but that's great. That's great.
So, yeah.
I love
this
behind the scenes stuff. Very, very cool.
Yes. So, those are just a few of the, you know, fun files that I was given, as just kind of like, look at this. Isn't this kind of fun?
That's great. That's so cool.
We love the behind the scenes stuff. So,
yeah. And absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for sharing this with us. The developers who work on these things, they have no need to actually put this stuff out into the world and let us know about it, but it's so nice to be able to see this and feel like they're happy to share with us. That's so great.
And you know, we've been really lucky with just interactions whenever we've had them online with anyone who worked on the series. It seems like everyone who worked on the series is just so proud and so happy. Mm-hmm. To have worked on that series,
right?
And you love to see that. So, yeah. Hopefully, that's how the current team feels. Hopefully, that translates too into whatever we get in the next Mass Effect.
Yeah, and if they're listening, if any of them want to come on the show and talk about things as we get closer to release or after release or whatever, love to have you. So, open invitation.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so. I think that's going to do it. I don't have anything else on my list of things to discuss.
Yeah, that's it for In 7 Day, this go around. I know that we didn't get a lot, you know, in terms of what the next game is going to look like. I'm going to be patient. We can play Veilguard, and maybe we'll get something, you know, in the summer. Who knows about what the next Mass Effect is going to look like.
Awesome.
Who knows?
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. And then, you know, next week, we're going to talk about some more Rex.
Yep, more Rex. And you've got your streams. You've got your regular stuff. twitch.tv/n7thelegend.
Yep. I just finished my headcanon playthrough last night on In 7 Day. It's a long stream. I finished with the Mass Effect Happy Ending mod by Audimus, who we interviewed, and that one was just fantastic. It was very well done. Didn't have to pick any of the choices with the Star Child, which is very nice. It just kind of like lets you win the game by activating the Crucible, and then it kills all the Reapers and no one else dies. So it's like, okay, good.
Cool.
Perfect.
Cool.
That is what I wanted. So that was fun. I also found a cut conversation with Anderson. They had cut down that conversation there at the end a lot. And
from the original version to the legendary version?
No. Like from before release to release.
Oh, okay.
No one saw this cut content, basically. Oh. And a modder restored the cut content, the final conversation with Anderson. And man, that was gut-wrenching. That conversation, if you thought it was hard before to listen to that, it's so much more tear-jerking afterward. But anyway, that's how the rest of my playthrough went. I think I'm just going to take a little bit of a break from streaming Mass Effect, but I'm going to be streaming on the weekend still. I'm streaming Ghost of Tsushima on Saturdays now. Yeah.
That's a great game. Awesome.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Very cool. And of course, you've got my stuff. You've got all the shows at robotsradio.net. You've got my other lore casts that I do if you're into Fallout or Elder Scrolls or Lord of the Rings, any of that stuff. Also, I tried out some new game that's very Skyrim-like, but by one developer. I did a video about it. It's up on the Robots Radio YouTube channel. Go check that out. And I try to stream every so often when I get some time to do so. So come hang out and join us for future shows. Jump on the Discord. Let us know about the stuff we talked about today. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And in case you're getting chased by a gigantic Volus King, keep running.
You do not want to let him catch you. I promise.
Thanks for being here, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Mass Effect Lorecast. We'd love to hear your opinion and thoughts on the lore of Mass Effect. Reach out to us on Twitter at Mass Effect Cast, or check out the Robots Radio Discord. Also, you can send us an email at masseffectlorecast@gmail.com.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.